Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Oh,
good day. Good evening, everyone. I should say good evening because it's Sunday, March 14th at 10:42 p.m. I am Dr. Shirley Caniff, General Manager here of WSCIRO on the Blog Talk Radio venue. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, and we are broadcasting live from New England, and we are having a Northeaster, and we're not going to come out of this until Wednesday, it seems, but that's all a part of living in New England. And again, you know, it's just awesome, you know, what God's doing. Sometimes, like the weather, things happen in seasons, and we're about ready to enter into a new season of restoration, but not only just restoration. We're actually in restoration, but some of the old things have to be tossed out. They have to be burned up. All right, and then that's within our spirit. And that song that was just on, the song that we opened up with, was produced by Dr. James Gall from Accountus Network. And I believe Heidi Baker was in that one. That was song 23. Yeah, and that it was from the CD Restoring the Tabernacle. And that's what God's doing. He's restoring the tabernacle. And what tabernacle is this? Us. We are the tabernacle of David, okay? And, but, you know, you have to constantly ask for freedom because we live in this world, but we're not of it once we receive Christ, all right? And I was just meditating on the word of the Lord as far as the rhema word, the now word. What was, you know, I was asking the Lord what's on his heart, you know, and there are times where I believe my heart is entwined with his, and I'll be going along, and I'm sure that some of you who are intercessors appreciate this, and all of a sudden this sorrow would just come over me. I would go from happy to sorrow, and I am not bipolar. I'm not on medication. I'm a very happy person. We've had our struggles, but I'm very happy either way because I have the joy of the Lord. But the thing is, it was like, what's going on, Lord? What is this sorrow? What is this sorrow that you're allowing me to bear? What is it, Lord? What is on your heart? And before we go into this, this is going to be a very, very heavy show. Because the Lord's asked me to come on air and really claim some ground for him. But to do this, we have to call upon the Holy Spirit. And it's claiming ground here on the earth, but at the same time, he's gonna do the rest. And here's my husband. He's going to lead us into prayer. We're going to invoke the Holy Spirit. And the name of the show is called, what is it called? Oh, we're going to talk about the absolute of God. One of his absolutes is the invisible become invisible. And we're going to be talking about a vision that I had when I was a lot younger, when I was like 5 years old, and what the Lord had said to me, which was appropriate for this time period in my life. And it all relates to what the Lord's doing now in the body of Christ and in the world. But before we go further into this, it all relates to the CD that you've heard and everything. My husband is going to, who is the Lord appointed as my spiritual head, he's going to lead you all into prayer. And we're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to just be in control of this broadcast.
Amen. I just want to thank you for all listening, and Lord, we just turn to you, turn our hearts, minds, bodies, souls towards you right now, and we ask you to send forth your Holy Spirit to anoint our ears and anoint our eyes that we may hear and see what you're saying to your people tonight, because you are the vine dresser. You are the one who prunes. You are the one who heals the pruning cuts and restores to full fruitation the hearts and minds that are part of your body, that for those who want to take it to the next step of going deeper with the things of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for making that possible. We thank you that when we become saved, we become living temples where you can dwell, and we invite you to come in now. And Paul said to Timothy, stir up the fire of that which was imparted to you through the laying on of hands. And I say now, stir up the fire. Lord, stir up the fire in us, the fire that you put in us, the fire that we asked you to put in us, because we could not achieve having the fire of God put in us unless it was for your life, death, and resurrection. And you claim to be the vine, and we want to be attached to you, but the vine has to have the same sap flowing through it as the branches. And even though you may be a branch of the wild olive tree being grafted into the cultivated olive tree, you eventually take on the sap of the main tree that you're grafted into, the life force. The Holy Spirit changes you from within and gives life to that branch that you are. But you can't do anything apart from the vine. Cut a branch off, and what does it do? It withers. In Jesus' name, I ask for a release of the Holy Spirit, a deep knowing that being the branch is important. Therefore, remaining attached to the vine is important. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship you. We adore you. We praise you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the sons and daughters you have brought to birth today through the church, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you, Son. Glory to you, Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the words, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable unto you, O Lord, until the day that you return. And I thank you, Lord, for touching this broadcast in a very special way. Thank you. Fill your people with the understanding that they need to understand what you're doing in this season of their lives and in the lives of the body of Christ and in the life and in the world as well. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say hi to my Facebook friends as well as the friends on Vimeo, YouTube, and Blog TV. And I also want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want to say hi to Israel. Hi! Because, you know, a lot of these technologies that we enjoy on the Internet come out of Israel, Blog TV, Blog Talk Radio, and, you know, and so we need to pray for the continued blessing of the Jewish people, and those especially coming out of Israel that the Lord's blessed with the gift of bringing technology, you know, to the rest of the world. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for the Jewish people. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, and that as people pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they will come into a greater, not only material prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. Because when you are prospering in your spirit, it's health to you. It brings health to your bones. It brings life in a greater capacity. You may not necessarily own 1,000 cattle on, you know, on the hill there, but every provision, everything that you need is provided for. And that's what prosperity really is. It's not just one level, uni level prosperity, but it's on all levels. It's multiple levels of prosperity, multifaceted prosperity. Okay. Anyways, we just changed our smoke detector in here, and it keeps beeping. But any people out there that are hearing this beeping, it is not your imagination. we changed the battery like everybody should, especially on daylight saving time. You know, I hope that everybody realizes that last night, as the clock was turning 12 midnight, which is now brings you into March 14th, that you have to spring ahead. So in the spring, we always say spring the clock an hour ahead, and of course in the fall back. But we've sprung ahead. But usually it's a time where people do change the smoke detectors so that it could be working properly in case of an emergency. So let this be a warning for those who need to pay more attention to smoke detectors. Amen. All right. Let's see. I just want to I'm going to talk about Exodus. We got a chapter from Exodus about when the Lord came to Moses in the burning bush, all right, and gave him directives from heaven of a people that he was destined and called to lead out of the wilderness of their lives, leave Egypt. And I get a sense that the Lord this is what the Lord is going to be doing in the restoration, transformation process, what he's doing collectively in many of the Christian churches here in America, and also as a nation. And, you know, when you start seeing that leaders are being shaken to the core, you know, the Lord's up to something. This all relates to the topic of this broadcast of Faith Talk Live Prayer, this particular episode. The visible the invisible becoming visible. Last night, my husband and I made a journey to a little pilgrimage to the Metro West Bridge Church in Framingham, Pastor John Thomas's church, and Paul David Guidry was the worship leader there, and they had an anointed speaker. A young person, Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y, Martin. And Dr. James Gall had also, I think, mentored him. He'd done a lot with Campus Crusades, and they also did a lot of street ministry when they came from Africa to this country. And I guess God has been using Monday Martin to spread the gospel to the streets, you know, and people have been just coming to the Lord and having these wonderful God encounters, you know, that God appointed just for them, that God designed just for them, you know, just for their generation. And they're coming into a place in the glory that had been prophesied, but that has never been experienced before in the body of Christ. And this is on the increase, folks. It's on the increase as people surrender. It's part of that dunamis glory power that I saw during prayer with my friend Shelley on Facebook, the dunamis power coming to the earth that appointed for this time, for people for this time, as we plug our faith into the Lord. But we got to step outside of ourselves. We have to realize just how small we are and how big God is, all right? So he's a big God. He's not a little God. He's a big God, isn't he? And we don't, you know, boss him around. We welcome him. We invite him into our hearts, and he invites us to dine with him. It's a equal exchange. Okay, he first calls us because he first loved us. He first loved us because he first called us. He calls us by name, and he knows each. He has a name for each and every one of his people. He changes the name. There's a God encounter. Then we're changed on the inside in our DNA, and he gives us a new name. That's how he identifies us. Okay, that's what he did with Abram when there was an encounter. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham because he was destined. He had a destiny that he placed inside of the heart and life and temple of Abraham. He was destined to be the father of many nations.
So God gave him the name that meant that.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, and he does that with every single one of us. You know, there's a destiny that has been dreamed of by the Lord for you since before the foundations of the earth were laid. Okay, and we're just living out that dream, all right, here on this earth. We're living out the Lord's dream, Daddy God's, Father God's dream, and you know, and. And as we fulfill that dream, that mission here on the earth, you know, he's given us a new name. We're becoming changed in the twinkling of an eye. So, I didn't mean to go on and on and on with that because I want to start with why we, you know, the Lord gave us this title. He brought me back to, he wanted me to start talking about the visible, invisible becoming visible. And that was a word, actually, that I actually got a chance to kind of put into the ear of Jordan Thomas after the event last night. And I didn't know when I first saw him what I was going to say, but towards the end, the Lord was showing me, just tell him about, you know, what, you know, how I came into time in your life when you were 5, you know, to emphasize something that was going to happen later on in my life, and I was going to be a witness to what the Lord was going to do and about ready to do. And he's already beginning, but it's going to be on the increase, okay? And the Lord brought me to the creed of the church. Way back in the 60s, in the early 60s, I'm from the Catholic faith. That was my background when I was little, my church of origin, and my church was the Church of the Holy Ghost, go figure, the Church of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, back then the Lord was tapping on my shoulders because I used to see the heavens open up and Father God and, you know, the man with white hair and a staff with blue eyes, real piercing blue eyes, looking at me. And I used to have these reoccurring dreams, too, and I used to tell my step-grandfather about this because he was the spiritual head that the Lord had appointed. He was the one that God had infused his wisdom within him so he could teach me. And because of that, there was a reputation that was already developed that, my God, surely, you know, I was ready to come into church. I didn't even know what they were talking about. I just noticed there was a big building, and that was it, you know. But then they started taking me to church, and I couldn't understand a thing. That was the time when I started reading books, you know, the Chip and Mitten books and, you know, See Sally Run, all these books. And so, and then when I had to follow along in mass, I was crying because it was like I couldn't understand the language. It was Latin. I didn't, you know, and I'm saying, I have to, you know, I wanted to go get close, at that time, I wanted to get close to God. And I'm like, I have to learn all this to get close to God, oh my God. And I was crying because it was so hard for me. But then the Lord gave me consolation at that time, and he would, he would come to me like that. And I didn't know how to tell people that I had a movie and God was in it. I didn't even know what a dream meant, you know, those kinds of things. And so I remember one time when the church started turning everything to English, then I could read. And what was so intriguing was the Apostles' Creed, because in it, it mentioned the word, you know, about the invisible becoming visible. Okay, this is before they changed the the language become more modern, okay? And my grandfather would try to explain it to us based on his theological understanding of this. And you know, and this is a time in the 60s where color TV was coming into the households throughout America. And one of the shows that intrigued me because it reminded me of church was The Invisible Man. And I would always be intrigued that, you know, that the man was one there, and then all of a sudden he just becomes invisible. And then somehow the Lord kind of connected that to this prayer that I'm about ready to read. But then, even then I wasn't afraid to talk to God. See, something happened between 5, you know, and life set in, I started, you know, I had some trials and tribulations inflicted upon me, and I know it was the attack of the enemy to try to diminish my faith. And but I remember those days very clearly because the Lord preserved those days because He wanted to encourage me for the second half of my life. And during that time period, He told me that the invisible kingdom is going to become visible in the second half of my life. And I didn't even understand that either, because I'm thinking, well, what age is the second half of my life? Back then, people weren't living as long, so I was like, am I going to be 100? What was it going to be? What age was that, you know? So I was always anticipating, you know, the second half of my life, whatever that was. And now I'm in it. I'm in the second half of my life. I'll be 50 this year. I'm coming into my Jubilee year, and I'm going to have a good time with the Lord and all His people. Praise God, because I know He's got some Jubilee things in store for me. Wow, and everybody's going to have fun. But anyways, we got to get through the dark night, though, you know, the dark night where everything, you know, there are many people out there that have to make decisions. You know, you're at crossroads every time I talk to someone. I have a couple of friends who are my prayer partners. They're telling me that they're in the season of crossroads where, you know, they need to make a decision that will affect not only themselves but other people regarding job, regarding change in career, and other things that are coming up in their lives that, you know, cause them to make some kind of decision that will affect the rest of their life. So we're all there, and I know that there are some other people that will listen that are there too. We'll pray into that towards the end of this broadcast. But I wanted to go to that, you know, when the Lord revealed that to me. And so, you know, He brought that again very strongly a couple of days ago when I was praying, and it just stood out. And I just had so much peace about it. He says, we are now entering into a new season where He will make the invisible realities of the kingdom become more visible. Now, I know that He's been giving us hints about the goat dust and about the oils, and only a few people seem to have that. But there's going to be an increase of worship throughout the earth. And, you know, it's going to be just an everyday part of who we are in the glory. But there are other things that haven't even come to the earth that are about, you know, ready to be released to understand the kingdom of heaven more. Some will come by dreams. Others will come by open manifestation. And, you know, there are people that, you know, are going to have direct contact with heaven. There's going to be a thinner veil between heaven and the earth. And, you know, and there are times where people won't even know that they've left the earth, but they have, and they're in the heaven, and they're going back and forth so fast, you know, not even time to think about it. But you know, they're not going to, they'll be in their bedroom at one point, and next thing you know, they stepped into a garden at another point, and everything would just be transformed around them just like that. And then they come back into their kitchen. But they wouldn't have really left the earth, but they would walk through a thin veil, in the spirit. But it's going to be such a marked experience that they're going to know. Most people will know as this is happening. We're going to hear more and more and more of this. It's there's going to be people translating to different countries, but that was just a forerunner of what's going to happen between people that are worshiping the Lord, always having one in their heart, have entrusted all their whole being, who they are, to Him, have surrendered themselves in intimacy to the Lord in a way that pleases the Lord. Okay, so God's going to do it. And God's going to be walking through this land too. But the invisible realities of the kingdom are going to become visible. And the church has always had the people that, the mass attendance. I don't want to sound mechanical, but, during the liturgy on Sundays, the church always recites this profession of faith as a community, profession of faith as a community, and it's the Nicene Creed, all right? There's a long version and a short version. They recite the Nicene Creed as a community, the long version. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. It was called invisible, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. That was His purpose. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again in glory, in glory, in glory to judge the living and the dead. And His kingdom will have no end. Could you imagine being a part of a kingdom that has no end? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and the Apostolic Church. See, there's not just the Catholic or just the Apostolic Church. It's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And I think that's really neat, looking forward to the life of the world to come. But the Lord loves us so much as we get closer to Him. He wants us to know what's on His heart. And as we become sold out worshipers, He will open our eyes and see. But many of us are going to have that experience of stepping into the kingdom and that going back and forth. And there's a purpose behind that, because in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about the kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is the kingdom going to come? It's going to come through as God's people go back and forth into the kingdom to bring the kingdom to the earth. And because His will needs to be done throughout the earth, it's to spread the kingdom. But it's not to spread the kingdom in theory. It's actually to spread the tangible essence of the kingdom. And the Lord's going to show it, His people as a body, how He's going to, be working with us closely. Because, see, the Holy Spirit brings us into all truth, and he's the teacher. He's not only the comforter. We've been, you know, really, really emphasizing too much of the Holy Spirit being the comforter. He's there, but he's also the teacher that brings us into all truth. Not just the, you know, the theological truth of the people that went before us, but daily, daily bringing us into all truth. And personal revelation, and we have to, you know, as we ask, as we call upon him, as we minister love songs unto the Lord, and he's going to be ministering love songs back to us. And I just got a revelation that the way that he's going to woo us into this new place, he's going to sing to us songs from heaven, and we're going to follow that song right into that thin veil where we're going to go, you know, into kingdom. You know, and learn about the kingdom in a greater way. So there's a lot of fear out there about this world. The Lord's telling me to tell you, for those who persist in that, you will not see the kingdom. You will not inherit the kingdom. Do not look at this world, but look to the Father and look to the look forward to the kingdom of God coming to the earth, of things to come. Okay? Focus on that when you are in worship. Don't focus so much on the fear, you know, of the hype of what this particular political system is doing and that political system.
It's all dead.
It's all dead. And the Lord is shaking it anyways. As we are doing this radio broadcast, he's doing this with all the nations right now that have had some form of corrupt government where they, you know, weren't there for the people like they said they were going to be. And I'm not talking about welfare systems. I'm talking more like the basic needs, human needs, for shelter, for you know, to uphold the dignity and integrity of living human beings. You know, the ability to, you know, go out there and work. To, you know, because it says in Scripture, you know, we don't work, we don't eat. And there has to be jobs out there, and there doesn't need to be this discrimination, you know, and there doesn't need to be a dumbing down of society to, you know, put down people that want to, you know, be educated so they can go to work and make a decent salary that so they can support the church and support their families. Those are basic rights that everyone should be entitled to, okay? And right now, there is an imbalance in this throughout the land. And you have people turning their backs, you know, and saying things and doing things to manipulate the system so it doesn't, you know, so that people do not come into that place and it's only for a few selected people. God is judging that, okay? He's judging that mindset. At the beginning of this broadcast, Dr. James Gall, I'm sure he just wants us to call him James. he produced that CD, Restoring the Tabernacle of David, and you know, him and Heidi were, and some others were singing the Psalm 23 and asking the kingdom to come in this, you know, as it would bring freedom, real freedom to the nations. Okay. The kind of freedom that people are advocating for through governmental systems here on Earth side actually is a more limited form of freedom. But, you know, those who truly give themselves to Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to come will actually come into all freedom, you know, as because he is, you know, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher, our reconciler. He brings us into all truth of who we are and what we need to do in life. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord, you know, is coming to us in this way to teach us to tell people, you know, and to teach people what is on his heart. You know, we could be so caught up in looking for signs and wonders, but I want to look for teaching from heaven. I want the heavenly download as far as teaching, because I'm not always trusting of men's teaching or the teaching of man. the teaching of man interpreting spiritual reality. If I'm just not comfortable with that, I want to get it from the Lord himself. And that's why I believe that the Lord's blessed us with the ability to be able to break it down in a simplistic form, because so many people make it complicated, but God wants, you know, he wants to embrace you, and this kingdom of God is simple. That's why he wants us to become like little children to receive it. You know, I am educated, but I believe it, believe me, there's a simplicity in me, because I don't even know how I was able to do any of these things. But, you know, with God, you know, he's able to bring me into all truth. He organizes my thoughts. He does many things like that, you know, so I can think more like him. I can't rely on my own brain. It's just not there, you know. But I know who I am apart from the Lord, and I know what I need from him. And so that's where, you know, that's how he provides. I just wanted to I had a vision, and you know, just recently of the Lord going throughout the land of the United States, throughout the governmental systems, and he was showing me how why the tsunami did not happen, you know, because he is shaking the land, but he's doing it because his spirit, he's releasing his Holy Spirit to go throughout the land to change things. He's walking through the land as I'm talking, because I can see him walking. I can actually see his legs in the sense that he's walking. And, you know, and as he's walking, he's changing mindsets that are not godly, that get in the way of his will for America, his will for his people. And he's given us little hints, like the tsunami was his way of saying sending a wave of the Holy Spirit. The funny thing about it, in that whole rim, it looked like it was a tsunami that was going to hit. But he sent the wave in the Spirit. And it was enough to show up on the, you know, the Richter scale of the tsunami, whatever they, however they measure tsunamis. But then when it stopped, it was like the Lord already sent the wave in the Spirit, but people, you know, but they were able to pick it up physically. But then he stopped it because, you know, it stopped picking it up after a while because the Lord accomplished his purpose. But he still, nevertheless, wanted his intercessors, watchmen on the wall, to pray, and we still have to pray for that whole region. But the Lord is shaking the nations. He's dethroning leaders at this time, and he's raising up godly men and women who have a prophetic edge, who are visionaries, who this is for this season. So that he can use the United States the way that he needs to use them, and also that it needs to be a unity among the other leaders. In Africa, there was this vice president who was kind of like in the background. And what was his name? Was it Good Luck or? He had a funny little name, but it meant something good. And I guess the other leader, who was, I believe it was a Muslim leader, got very, 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 very sick. And sick enough so that he couldn't leave. And all of a sudden, this humble man, because I guess they described this man, I'm Good Luck somebody. I don't know, that's what his name was. They said he was a Christian. And you know, he just didn't understand how we ever got to that position. So, kind of, sort of like John Paul II, after John Paul I, you know, passed away 30 days after he was elected to the pontificate. All of a sudden, John Paul II, Carol Wattiva.
Had to turn around and go back to Rome.
He had to turn around and go back to Rome because he was told that he was going to be the new pope. Yeah, and so the conclave had. You know, they didn't, you know, they selected him as like the next one on the list. That's what it was. He was the next one on the list, and And it was like, who is he? You know? Well, you know, he was the longest reigning pope in the Catholic Church's history, and he got a lot of things accomplished spiritually, no matter what denomination people were from. And he left a lot of good teaching behind. And so that was how the Lord used this particular leader. But the Lord, you know, if he has a certain leader that he wants to run the whatever nation it is, to accomplish a greater purpose, he will interrupt business as usual for it to come to into being. And I really, really believe that as the Spirit, as he's going back, you know, throughout the land, there's going to be some shaking up. The Lord's going to tear down some, you know, he's going to go after the mindsets of the, especially he was saying he's going to deal with Congress, the mindsets of Congress and the Senate. And, you know, he's going to have his way, and the nation will know that he's God. And because there's a lot of injustice seeds that are planted, and the Lord does not like that. I'm not speaking from my heart, I'm speaking from the Lord's heart. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but God does, because he's God, all right? And you know, we just have to pray. We've got to pray for the leaders. We have to pray for this nation. We have to pray for the healing of mindsets of the people of God, all right? Because a lot of the ugly politics that are happening right now are influencing some of the some believers' minds, the ones that are weak-willed. But God, in, you know, in his love for mankind, especially those who live in the United States who are Christian, who are believers, who are worshipers after his own heart, the Lord will, you know, in our weakness, he will become our strength. He will strengthen our minds and our hearts. He will put us in the best, the right place. Spiritually, he will purify us. And he will strengthen the love bonds. He's strengthening love bonds right now as I'm talking. But he wants to set his people free. That's how much he loves us. That's why he comes, you know, that's why he's going throughout the land. And it's just awesome, you know, when I just keep seeing the Lord's legs and he's walking with his golden censer. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see. Oh, the veil is so thin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the thin veil between heaven and earth. That nothing is going to separate, your people from you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for those who love you. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the true reformation coming from heaven, not man's interpretation of what you are decreeing from heaven, but your true heavenly reformation, the one that does not cause divisions, the one that causes unity in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Shikata bashande, shila masonde mashanda. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, shiba baba bashanda. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for people. Now, the Lord's saying, you know, he's working individually in people's hearts and minds. And some people have swords that are drawn towards each other. The Lord's saying, put away your swords. This is, you know, he's spreading his love throughout the land. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel that I need to read from Exodus 3 about Moses in the burning bush, because there's something in this, I believe, that that you're going to glean from this, because it's all about decreeing freedom, and this is what the Lord is wanting to do. He's wanting to give, he's wanting to release the heavenly freedom right now, in the real freedom. Okay. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. And that, see, that's what we all do. We were, you know, some of us who are very gifted intercessors or sensitive to the Holy Spirit, for the most part, gets, you have that extra discernment where you're looking around, you're seeing the hard labor of the people, okay, which prompts you to want to intercede for them, all right? He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, glancing this way and at that and seeing no one. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" he asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him, invite him to have something to eat?" Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out in their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. And I really believe right now there's a social slavery going on. There's a lot of injustices that have been swept under the rug, and a lot of Christians have turned their back against it. And there, you know, sometimes there's a lot of finger pointing. People don't want to look at the hard reality of why so many people are really out of work. What some people who are, you know, who have influence over the wealth, what they're really doing, why they're really withholding the money, what they really want to achieve, okay? And then people say it's part of the global thing. But, you know, if the United States gets to act together, we can be the leaders in this global economy. But the thing being is that it has to be God-led. And there's just a lot of things that, you know, a lot of God's people are experiencing unnecessary suffering, you know, the ability to not to be able to provide for their family, to being social slaves to a system that, you know, is being manipulated by a handful of people. And some of them have connections to Congress and the Senate. And God wants to get to that because it's affecting the heart. It's affecting the heart of America. All right, and it's causing a distraction from the things of God and where the Lord wants this country. So, you know, so right now I really believe we're entering a time where God is hearing our cries. He's going throughout the land. He's walking. He himself has come down to America, and he's walking throughout the land, and he's cleaning some things. He's going to be reckoning with the powers be, and you'd be amazed as to what will happen in the next 30 days. Okay, let's see. Now Moses is tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames and fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the though the bush was on fire, it did not burn it up. So Moses thought, it will go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God, because there was so much glory coming from him. But when we come into worship in this day and age, the veil that separates us between the heavens and the earth is becoming very, very, very thin. And we're going to be even seeing greater things, you know. And worshiping the Lord is like ascending a mountain. You ascend the mountain of the Lord when you worship. And God is going to, he is up to something. He's got something up his sleeve. And I remember writing this in some blog that, I feel like I'm the small person, you know, and I saw the vision of the Lord with his arm, big arm in his sleeve, and I was small enough to crawl up under it to see what was under his sleeve. So, you know, God is, he's awesome because he wants to surprise us, and he's going to surprise us. Okay.
And the Lord has a question for you. Why are you idle? Why are you not doing what I have called you to do? Because there are people out here, young people, even people my age, who've been given a call to serve God in civil service. And I'm not just talking about jobs. I'm talking about bringing people together and working in Christ to make sure that every level of human society that believers find themselves in, Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, so that all these groups can be salt. But how do you be salt if you're not living under the power of the Holy Spirit and have a daily prayer life, seeking God and responding? Now, this doesn't mean you can't be married. This doesn't exclude the ministers, the ordained ministers as well. But we each have a role in the body of Christ, and we have somewhere where we live is the area God expects us to first and foremost start intercession before him for our neighborhoods, for the neighbors to the left and the right, above and below, if we're in a multi-dwelling housing project. You know, you might think that their problems are bad, but they are. Human problems are terrible. From, no matter what they define themselves as. But God is the answer to suffering. Jesus suffered to take away suffering. He who was not a sinner became our sin so that we would no longer have to be subject to the effects of sin, suffering, sickness, death. And, wow. Ooh, where'd that come from?
Wow. So I want to just give back that. Thank you for sharing that, Jeff. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So whenever that happens, I just give the phone. I give the mic to my husband, the phone mic, because, you know, he'll lose it if I don't give it to him. So, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jeff, for just being obedient to the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm going back to Exodus 3:7. So the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay? A land flowing with milk and honey. And what is that for us? That is the kingdom you know, that, you know, the word that the Lord had given me, that there's going to, that the veil right now is very thin between, for believers, between the heavens and the earth. And the Lord is saying that he's telling the Pharaoh of the world, of the world economy, to let his people go. Okay? Let my people go. Let my people not be slaves of the world system. Let my people go. I have a far greater plan and far greater place for my people. That's what the Lord is saying. And he's going to be, like I said, he's continuing. He's walking. And because he's heard the cry, so he's come down from heaven. He himself has come down from heaven. He's walking to and fro throughout the earth, especially in the United States, saying, let my people go. And he's freeing people from oppression right now. Oppression, they didn't even know. It felt like stress. They didn't even know it was a demonic oppression. He's setting them free right now. It's the oppression of living in this time, living in this day and age. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for going to and fro. Hallelujah. Shikara mashanda yamashanda. Oh, Shiba. It may look like drug addiction. It may look like domestic violence. It may look like, you know, abuse. It's all in response to this oppression that's been used as a weapon against God's people. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And the Lord is saying, set my people free. He wants freedom. He's bringing freedom to the house. Freedom to set the captives free. It's been sung about, but this is the season where he's going to and fro. He's dealing with the powers of thee. He's dealing with mindsets, and he's releasing freedom that we've never experienced before. Freedom that will allow us to go behind the veil, beyond the veil. He's doing this sovereignly right now. Thank you, Jesus, because he wants the people to go into the promised land of the kingdom, to bring the kingdom to the earth. That's what the Lord is doing right now. Ooh, Shikadabashada, I can see this stuff. Like a movie. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. A land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, yes. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So the Lord used, at that time, Moses. But now he's doing it. He's going to do it. He already sent his son. He sent the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. But he is sovereignly doing this. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you. You have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to Lord our God. But I know that the King Reacher will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians forever favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. And the Lord is saying, okay, that he's going to do what he told Moses back then. He's doing it himself. And he doesn't have to make any excuses. He's going to deal with the powers of being God's way. All right? He will mete out mercy to those who have acquired mercy through just the living of their lives. And also, you know, there's a personal judgment for those who persist in submitting to their will to the Lord, and especially those in leadership. He's really going to be dealing with those that are in leadership big time. And Lord, I just pray right now that as you pass over this nation, and it's funny how we're coming into that time of Passover, as you pass over this nation with your scepter and your censer, Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus over this nation right now. Lord, cover every household with the blood of Jesus, every doorpost with the blood of Jesus. Lord, protect those that you are protecting. Lord, you are the Lord. You are God. You know what you're doing. But Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done here on the earth as well as it is in heaven. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is saying he loves you with an everlasting love, and he's always desiring mercy, And he weeps when, just by virtue of stubborn will, that the people on their own merit choose not to allow him to come and to do some work in their lives. And so when, you know, the personal judgment happens, it's not good. And the Lord is saying he really wants to spare many people from personal judgment. And this is also a time to cry out to him and ask him into your heart right now. Because the Lord is walking throughout the nation right now. Yes. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the purifying wind. We thank you for the purifying wind and fire, Lord, and your glory spreading throughout the land. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, Jeff, is there anything you want to say? Mm-hmm. Jesus is what?
Jesus is wonderful.
Amen. Amen. I didn't even know. I didn't even. He does. But he said it.
Much more. I don't think there's much time before the kingdom of God comes down to the earth with Jesus' appearance. I will not endeavor to say when, but it's sooner than when we started, and Shirley and I started very young in our lives, which put us back to the early 60s.
And, you know, and it's, you know, only the Lord knows how he's going to bring the kingdom, but I believe it's going to come through worship. But the veil is very thin where people are experiencing the kingdom right now. But, we're going to have more of these translations into the kingdom. But it's going to be like an everyday thing. It's going to be part of prayer. It's just going to be on the increase. But we're going to be transformed in a greater way. Our characters will be redeemed in a greater way and become more, we become more looking like Christ and acting like Christ and transformed. And then this world system will be transformed. But
the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're at the end of the show, and it was just awesome to be able to, you know, fellowship with the Lord like this and offer, and we use them as vessels to offer hope to a world that's, you know, needs hope. So, God bless you, and we love you, okay? Until next time. Thank you for listening to Faith Talks Live Prayer. Bye-bye now.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.